Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
Well, you talk about this is a treat. I get handed a mic tonight on Shabbat. So this is definitely a treat. Welcome to tonight's our Torah teaching, understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. You know, that's important. That slide, even though there's not a whole lot of information said on it, just to the fact that we need to understand what he likes and what he doesn't like and what he expects from us. And it's Torah 37, Shalat Laka. Y'all got that? Y'all practicing that? Shalat Laka. And it's Hebrew for send to you, or send for yourself. And the Torah is found in Numbers 13, 1 through 15, 41. And the half Torah is Joshua 2. 1 through 24. And you're going to see this word pop up a few times in these slides. You're going to see that every time that word sin comes up, we're going to shalah laka. It's going to pop in your mind, I promise you. Hebrew for sin, we read that part. It's chapter 13, focuses on the 12 spies. The topic is in the Porsche. Chapter 14 focuses on Elohim's character and consequences for lack of faith. And I thought I had to go back and read this today and just to see what his character, what are we talking about. We're going to read it. We're going to get to it. I don't just want to jump. I'm trying to go slow pace it here. Because the pastor, I said we got to make a little correction on slide 38. He said, oh, you ain't getting that far. So I'm trying to slow it down and we're going to cruise along. But I thought that was so important. You go back and read, because I did take a screenshot of it on my phone so I can read it. To know his character, because we're created in his likeness and in his image. So having said that, we take on his character. We mimic him. But what a great example we had than Yeshua, being our greatest example. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So now if we're walking in his image, in Yeshua's footsteps, in his image, we're mimicking him. Amen? Chapter 15, instruction on what to prepare with the burnt offering, grain and wine, and at the end of the chapter, the commandment for tzitzit. Now, I know we ain't going to make it to chapter 15. We might make it to slide 38, but we ain't getting to chapter 15. All right. Spies sent into Canaan. And Yehovah, in Numbers 13:1, Bamidbar 13:1, and Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Send one man from each tribe of their fathers, everyone a leader among them. We know that these are hand-picked guys, chosen guys, guys of not slouch, sissy guys. These are well-known men in their father's house. And by the mouth of Yehovah, Moshe sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zachor; from the tribe of Simeon, Sephat, son of Hori; from the tribe of Yehuda, Caleb, son of Jephunneh; from the tribe of Issachar, Yigal, son of Yosef; from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nun; from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphael; from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodi; from the tribe of Yosef; from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, son of Susai; from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gamaliel, I tell you what, when we get to the land, we're going to know all these words. When the Torah teaches himself, you're going to know how to pronounce everybody's name perfect. Amen. From the tribe of Asher, Shethur, son of Machiel. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nahabi, son of Whoopsi. From the tribe of Gad, Gaul, son of Mekai. These are the names of the men who Moshe sent to spy the land, and Moshe called Hoshea, son of Nun, Yehoshua. So you see a little name change there, and we're going to get to the part what it means. And I tell you, boy, these names are tricky. And there's a little app you can go on and just read them. And the guy will say them to you, but it's just, it's different when you get here. It's just, the whole name changes completely. And Moshe sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up here into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like and the people who dwell in it, whether strong or weak, whether few or many, or whether the land they dwell in is good or evil, whether the cities are inhabited or in camps or strongholds, or whether the land is rich or poor, and whether they are forest or there or not, and you shall be strong and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first fruit of the grapes. So it's giving us a little indicator right there what time of the year it was. And I went back today and tried to Google and see about when's the grape harvest in that time. And there's some, they give several different seasons. So it's kind of hard. I really wasn't sure. But some of them can start as late as mid-May all the way to October. So I guess it's safe to say maybe sometime in the late summer, fall could be around this time. I don't know. We're not in the land, so it's kind of hard to say. But it gives us a little indicator. So I wouldn't know. I'm not 100% correct on that. Don't quote. I looked, and I did look to try to see what they were talking about. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Sin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up to the south and came to Hebron, and Haman, Shishai, and Tamai, the descendant of Anak, was there. Now Hebron had been built 7 years before Zon in Mizraim. So we see these names, and they strange name, but we're going to get to them because we know there were giants in the land. And it's telling us the descendants of who they were. And I can imagine these people seeing giants, some of them for the first time. And we're going to get to some of the good parts. And they came up to the Wadi Eshkol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bore it between two of them on a pole, also of the pomegranates and of the figs. That place was called Wadi Eshkol because the cluster which the men of Israel cut down from there. And that's exactly what Eshkol means. Report of the spies. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moshe and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So can you imagine when they came with all these fruit, the grapes and the pomegranates, and just to see the good of the land, how we get our little grapes here, we see our little clusters, but I can't imagine two people got to carry a cluster of grapes. That must have been really exciting to see. But we got to get to the report because, man, it says go and spy the land, see what it looks like. We get out there, I don't know how to say this sometimes. We got to be careful sometimes. We're going to get to the slide. Let me just keep reading. And they reported to him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. And truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are walled, very great. And we saw the descendants of Anak there too. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, while the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb silenced the people before Moshe and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are certainly able to overcome it. So I went today and I went and looked to the best of I can with my Google and tried to see where Jericho was at, because you know that's where we're talking about the land of Canaan, and to see where they were crossing. And you know, you can only do so much on your phone when you look at it. But it's interesting to see the route, where they went, the spot of the land. And that's a reason for that. That's a reason, because we can't just bring all the people there at once. Because even when they left Egypt, we know what they said when we want to go back, because Yah took them the long way around, because the minute they see war or something, they're going to turn back. So instead of bringing everybody at one time, we're just going to send a handful to spy out and let us bring report back to the people. But you see, Caleb silenced the people, because we can see here that, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel an evil report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land on which we have gone as spies is eating up its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Fear. And when we saw the Nephilim, sons of Anak, of the Nephilim, we saw the Nephilim, sons of Anak, of the Nephilim, and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. Here they're coming back. Yah has given you a land that he promised you a long time ago, since made covenant with Abraham. And what they do, they come back and they give a bad report. 10 out of 12 give a report that's not good. I need to get the napkin here. I said to myself, getting ready, I got this. You ain't going to sweat. It's a piece of cake. But we know that this land is good. Because it was promised to the children of Israel. That is our truck. I don't know how that happened. Oh. It just went off. Well, I... So let me go back to... Back to my slides here. This week's Torah portion starts with the instruction from Moshe to send men to spy out the land. And verse 2 starts with the phrase, shalaka, which means you send. And the Hebrew word for send is shalah, Strong's 79-7, which means to send or dispatch. So they're getting their orders from Yah. Yah is telling Moshe, look, I want you to send two people out there. Go spy the land. This is really good land. But we know the inhabitants who's occupying the land are not doing right. They're eating up the land. And what are we learning here right now? What are we supposed to be? We're preparing for the Shemitah cycle because Yah is concerned about the land. He's concerned about his land. I know it's over there too, but we live here. He's concerned about here too. But this is where we live. So he's telling them, let's go check it out. But come back. I mean, tell the people not to discourage them, because you're showing all the good things. But you get so discouraged because 10 of the people bring a false report on what Yah has given you. And we know Yah's not pleased with it, because when we get to it, he tells them, what's going to happen to them, especially going to chapter 14. He lets them know that this generation, except Caleb and Joshua, they're going to go in, but y'all, they're going to go around the mountain, and they're going to wander for 40 years until that generation dies off. And how it was tragedy, because they all could have made it into the land. Israel had now been just over 2 years in the wilderness, and were now camped in the wilderness of Paran, having come from Hazeroth. And now Moshe is instructed to send men to spy out the land of Canaan. One man, a leader from each tribe, was to be sent. And so at the mouth of Yehovah, Moshe sent them. What was their mission? To spy out the land which Yehovah was giving them. I could imagine what that even looked like today. How beautiful that must have been. Land flowing with milk and honey. The Hebrew word that is used here for spy is tor, Strong's 84:46, which means to seek out, spy out, explore, investigate, find out to do something, how to do something. These 12 spies were to go and explore the land and find out how the land was and what was being done in the land. In other words, they were sent to tour the land and bring back a detailed report of what they would encounter and discover. And some of the things they said was true. There were descendants of Anak there, and we know that according to what I listened to today and what I was looking at, it said that descendants, the Nephilim, how they were after the flood, was because of the wife of Ham. She had the DNA. That DNA was mixed in her blood. And that's how they come about to say they had giants, according to what another teaching said. So, but we know the scripture said that they were there. And there was proof they were there, because there was three different sets. Some by the sea. They were right along the Jordan. Some in the hills. And they were there in the land. And I can imagine, I mean, we saw a guy today, in Freeman today. That guy must have been 6'8", 6'9". 6'11". Oh, my bad, 6'11". And when he walked in the door of Freeman, he was like, cool, where this guy came from? And one of my people was there, he's like, man, you can tell that guy from around here. Ain't none of us grew this tall. I said, no, we got to stack us too high to reach just to see him eye to eye. This guy was tall. So you can imagine, 16, 17, 18 feet tall, it'd make you a little nervous. To the average guy, anyway. So, but still, that didn't give them the right to speak against Yehovah. Because what he told Job, he told Job's friend, Job's going to pray for you. Because you didn't speak right about me. So we got to watch what we say. Even though we're sent to do a mission for him, we have to be careful with our words and what we say, how we treat people, how we talk to people. These 12 spies were to go and explore the land and find out how the land was and what was being done in the land. In other words, they were sent to tour the land and bring back a detailed report of what they would encounter and discover. Do we really think, yeah, was bringing them somewhere to destroy them? Because that's what they complained about. You can go back in other chapters, even in this portion, where you're talking about, man, we wish we were back in Egypt. He brought us out here to die out here? Really? I mean, to go face these giants? Hey, that's going to be giants in our lives. Today, there's giants. Who are we afraid of? Because our eyes, we see that with our eyes, and that's what, fear comes in. We know that. Something's going to make you nervous, but we shouldn't fear it. And this is what they were looking at. They were looking at through the natural. But after what Yah had done for them, all the miracles coming out from Egypt, and they were still crying to go back. Man, after all this years of slavery, really? We've come out of so much paganism and rooted giants that have been in our lives that held us down for years to where we are today. Do we really want to turn back, turn around and go back? That would be a travesty. Let me see. Look at Numbers right here. Let's start with chapter 17. I know it's not in the slides, but it was talking about what he said about Yahweh's character. Let's just look at a little part of his character. In Numbers 14:17, "And now I pray, let the power of Yahweh be great, as you have spoken, saying, Yahweh is patient." That's a character. "And of great loving commitment, forgiving crookedness and transgression." That part, I'm so glad he done that for me. "And he doesn't hold that against me. Because if he did, somebody else would be speaking here tonight, because I wouldn't be here. "But by no means leaving unpunished, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation." But he's patient. And he's a loving commitment. It's in the scripture. It's part of his character. What he was just talking about in that one slide a little while ago. This should be some of our character. But sometimes we need to be patient. That's not us? "Forgiving crookedness and transgression, but by no means living unpunished, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation." In other words, they were sent to tour the land and bring back a detailed report of what they would encounter and discover. So we know they did that. This word carries with it the idea of an extreme importance, of huge responsibility to go and find out what the land is all about. They were to go and investigate and find out how the people of the land live. People are watching us today, you and I today, in this land here, seeing how we live. Trust me, they're watching. You'd be surprised every now and then the encounters I get with people on job sites and just here and there. A lot of them know now, you know, but they're still watching. I had one man ask me that day when I went to work. He said, "Man, how's the church doing?" I said, "The church is doing good. We're doing good. We got a little bump in the road, but we're managing. We holding on because we have to endure." I said, "But we're doing good." They're watching. They were to go and investigate and find out how the people of the land live. What is very interesting to take note of is that of the 23 times that this root word, sur, Strong's 8446 is used in Scripture, more than half are found in Bamidbar, Numbers, and are used in the sense of spying out the land. This word is used in the hip tense, which is the causative tense in Michelle, Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wrong leads them astray." See, we have to be that righteous neighbor, person, to help our neighbor. We don't want to mislead nobody. This is not why we're here. We're going to get a little couple down. The slides get better. This is kind of like the pre-warm-up. But we're not here to trick nobody. We ain't here to fool them. We're here to tell you the truth on what we're finding. And look, if there's a correction we have to make, we'll make correction in our lives. It's what we do. We're human. But if we're not careful, if we don't grab hold of this, we can be the one of the wrong ones that leads people astray, and we don't want to do that. In this verse, the root word tor, Strong's 8446, is written in the hip-tail tense as yater, and is translated as a guide that the righteous is to his neighbor. In contrast, the way of the wrong that leads his neighbor away. What this suggests here for us is that the righteous are very careful, cautious, and sensible in their walk as sojourners. And as a result, they will learn and study the required information so as not to be joined to false accusation, unlike the wrong who's foolish in his way. I thought about that slide. I read over this one a couple of times because I was thinking about last week's slide, Beha Aloka, slide 60. I'd like to read it to you. What are you talking about? Because we need to be careful. We need to be cautious, sensible, and how we lead our neighbors, our family members, and those around us. I'm not going to pull it up. I'm going to read you the slide, what it says. In last week's slide, on slide 60, it said, "Is Messiah our high priest who trims us?" You remember? He's the one that has to do the trimming in our lives. I don't think we ever get to this slide. "Through his word and equips us to shine." Why? Because if you're going to shine, when you shine, you are what? A guide. If you ain't shining, especially in dark as this world is, how are you going to lead anyone? "If we do not allow his word to trim us, we may lose our ability to be set in order and shine as we should risk having our lamps stands removed." And I thought this was very important because I shared this with Brother Chad, but we didn't get to it. But I'm going to show you right here. These slides, when they're being presented, they're not just commentaries that you read and think, well, this is somebody else. We have to learn somewhere, especially when some of this stuff is brand new. We got to learn. So I thought this slide was very important, because what's he talking about here? Getting our lampstand removed.
Oh, yes, I got to go. My Google alert.
Because we want to lead our neighbors. We want to lead our family the right way. So let's go to Revelations. And let's see what he's talking about, this lampstand being removed. Because I don't want to tell you my words. Even though I might be the speaker here tonight. And look, trust me, it's a privilege and an honor when you get called on to speak. And in Revelations chapter 2. And these are some scriptures we know very well. But just as a refresher. And I'm just going to read the first five chapters, verse 1. "To the messenger of the assembly of Ephesus write, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, says this." What we learned about last week, the one who's the leader in the middle, one who leads us, and what he does. Once he teaches us, what does I do? We're going to read the slide a little later on. He said, you go out and be taught ones, and go lead other people. You go teach this. What I'm teaching you. He says, "I know your works and your labor and your endurance." He knows. Especially to the older generation here, he knows how long you've been in this business. Long time. "And that you are not able to bear evil ones, and have tried those who say they are emissaries and are not, and have found them false." That's in the world today. There are some false emissaries out there. So we have to be careful. We have to be on guard. We have to watch ourselves also and not count the safety of our families. "And you have been bearing up and have endurance and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." He says, "But I hold this against you. You have left your first love." Well, this struck me a little bit here. Because we got to get back to the things, to the foundation of what he's been trying to teach us. Like I said, we're late. We're in late season. We're coming in at the last hour. But this is still important as the man who started it from the beginning. The pay is the same. "So remember from where you have fallen and repent." That's something we probably don't like to do that often, but we should, because you're going to say it again. "And repent and do the first works, or else I shall come to you speedily." Not slowly, speedily. We know that he's coming quickly. Especially now we're looking at these times and these charts. It's like, man, your heart's really pumping now because we're hoping to have, sure. I was glad when they said, man, we're going to pray for 50 more years when I just made 50 the other day. I wish we had 50 more years. He says, and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. See that slide? So these are not just slides that we just throwing up here and they have no meaning. When you go back to the scripture, you can find where your lampstand can be removed. You can be removed easily. I can be removed. So when I got to the slide here, he said in this verse, the root word tor. Strong's 8446 is written in the hip-tilt tense as yatter and is translated as a guide that the righteous is to his neighbor in contrast to the way of the wrong that leads his neighbor away. That's a bad neighbor. What did Yeshua say? I think it's in Matthew, where he says, the one who teaches the Torah, that guy is going to be blessed. Exactly how he went. I wish I had put that in my note, and I just thought of that just now. What this suggests here for us is that the righteous are to walk, that the righteous are very careful, cautious, and sensible in their walk as sojourners. Because we are sojourners, in case you don't know that. We ain't native born. We sojourn. We the strangers. But the thing is, when you read that, it said it's the same rules. Nobody got different rules. For the sojourner, for the native born, it's the same rules that we all have to follow. And sensible in their walk as sojourners, and as a result, they will learn and study the required information. I got these slides today. So you can imagine, it's a little bit of pressure. I'm trying to learn this in just a short amount of time. Usually we get Wednesday, so tonight is a little bit of pressure, but I told Pastor, I got it. I can handle it. It's a quick learning, but you can learn. And required information so as not to be joined to false accusation. We don't want to give that. Unlike the wrong who is foolish in his way. As we sojourn here, with the full assurance and expectation of the coming reign of Elohim, we are called to be a proper guide to our neighbor. As we show them the true way, as we walk according to the Torah amidst a wicked generation who find obedience in the Torah as something strange. Go figure that one. Y'all think I'm strange? I mean, that's what people look at you. You doing what? You live in South Louisiana and you don't eat no crab? You don't eat no shrimp? Crawfish? You know how many times I got asked down the job? And look, I'm there with 15 other guys. And they're like, and you don't eat what? What kind of fish you eat? That's strange to them. Strange talk. I said, you know what, and my comeback answer is that it's not because I don't eat it. Because trust me, I like a lot of those things. But the Torah says, ye to obey me. Well, we tell you, because it's demanding. Or I can just say, well, disregard it. And say, y'all understands. Because we live here in the South. That's why he put us here. Okay. We are to be ardent seekers of the truth and faithful guides to our neighbor as we encourage one another daily in the truth. Man, these are some powerful slides. We ought to be there to encourage one another. Because look, day after day, it doesn't get easier. It doesn't. You just look at the gas prices. That's enough to make you frustrated right there. My wife told me a little joke yesterday. She said, babe, you did a blue book value on the vehicle. The blue book value, you want to know if you got gas in it, in your vehicle, just the price of the value. So look, this world is getting not getting out of control. It's out of control. And if we get caught up if we're not careful, if we don't walk careful and be obedient, you get caught up in some of that junk that's out there. Especially the children, our young kids today. That's a big responsibility for the moms and the dads that have little kids. As we saw John here, as faithful ambassadors of Messiah, we are entrusted with his truth and with the clear responsibility of bringing a good report of the Besorah, good news, as we recognize the responsibility we have toward each other so that we may find to be faithful and righteous guides and not foolish and wayward ones. We have to be faithful and faithful ambassadors to whom and entrusted with his word. When you're going through these slides, he's entrusted me tonight to bring good news to his word. That's a responsibility. If you don't think you have nothing to do as a follower of him, this slide right here, just right here, tells you, you need to be faithful. For what? For your neighbors. For our families. To what? To bring a good report. We don't want to be like the 10 spies who brought back an evil report saying, look, we can't take this land. What? We just brought you out of Egypt. We crossed the Red Sea. You've seen the mighty hand of Yah destroy the whole army of Pharaoh. And you know what we did to the King Og and Bashan, how we fought, how Yah fought for us. And then you tell me now we're about to get the land, and here we are, we starting to peter out. We're going to give Yah a false report? We're going to say something bad about his land? He created. And when we go back to Genesis, he said it was good. And at the end of chapter, after the seventh day, he said it was very good. Yeah, I couldn't think of the verse number. You almost had me. But he said it was very good. Now he's promised the land an inheritance. And they bring back a bad report saying we can't take the land. But two out of 12, Caleb and Joshua, stood up, silenced the people. Said, look, we can take this land. Let's go up and take it right now. Caleb was ready to go. So we wonder, I mean, do we have any Calebs in here? Do we have any Joshuas in here? Because it's going to get, it's going to get bumpier as time goes on. We're not getting a smooth road. We ain't lacking up the road in Belchase right now. But I hope they fix the road up there, because boy, I tell you, that's terrible roads up there right now. That was kind of a little funny. But we talking about the land, something serious. Yah takes this serious. This is his land. And when he said he wants his land to rest, he means it. And if you're not going to do right by letting his land rest, what happens? He removes you. Because we know that. We see examples of that. Israel went into exile. He said, my land's going to rest. How long? 70 years. It rested. It got a big break. The point is, we got right here, this slide. We need to be found faithful ambassadors to him, because he entrusts you with his word. He entrusts all of us. It ain't just for me. It ain't just for our pastor. It's for every one of us here. Our master Yeshua has sent us to go and make taught ones of the nations and to immerse them in his name and teach them to guard his Torah. Is that a different Torah? No. But he makes it a little more challenging for you, because some things we can hide, we can fool people, but you ain't fooling him. Perhaps this is where our English word tour or touring comes from. And so with the same concept of this, we see how 12 respectable leaders were chosen to go and bring back a good report of that which had been promised to the nation as an inheritance. 12 respectable persons. Like I said earlier, these were no slouch of guys. These were well-known guys. Probably guys that can fight, I'm sure. They were leaders. Let's look at Matthew. What is Yeshua talking about here? Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Let me start at verse 17. And when they saw him, they bowed to him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make taught ones of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the set apart Spirit. And you can see these slides. They point to Yeshua. They point to Yehovah. These are just not just random slides. They have a meaning behind them. And he's commissioned us to go and do these things. Why? Because he's not physically standing right here next to me. So what do we have? We have his word. We have the set apart spirit to lead us and guide us to do what? To go teach. And this is one reason why we're in this spot. I'm in this spot right here to help. And I'm learning at the same time. These are the names of the 12 spies, one from each tribe, listed also with their father's name. And look, these guys here, when they said the name of who it was, you the son of who, they knew what family you came from. You know, because you represent your father's house. So when we're here, when in the morning we put these ETCs on, when we walk out the door as men, we represent our father's house. We're not here to please ourselves or just please our neighbor. We're here to please him. We have a job to do. The tribe of Reuben, Strong's 7205, behold a son. Shamua, Strong's 8051, famous, renowned, son of Zakur. Reuben, of the tribe of Reuben, this was the guy's name, Shamua. There you go, now I got it right. 8051, famous, renowned, son of Zakur, Strong's 2139, mindful. Like I said, these guys, these names meant something. And you mean something. That's what's so beautiful about the Hebrew. When there's names, there's numbers, there's all kind of identification when you look into a word or look into a name. There's so much information to go with it. The tribe of Shimon, Strong 8095, Herd, Safat, Strong 8202, means to judge. Son of Hori, Strong's 2753, cave dweller. What a meaning behind his name. From the tribe of Yehuda, praised. You remember when Leah said that? Hey, I'm going to call this one Judah, my fourth son, because I know my husband's going to praise me. That was said back way back when we started. So somebody's words are going to come back to mind when you hear them. Strong's 3063 means praise, was Caleb. He was from the tribe of Yehuda. Strong 3612, dog. I thought that was interesting. Son of you, funnel. Strong's 3312, he will turn and face. Now, I remember an incident a long time ago from a buddy of mine. He had this dog. He had a little bitty old puppy dog. I used to come by when I came by his house, and I chased that little dog. You see, but in a little time, I gave him time to grow. When he turned and faced, I just kind of eased back. I was afraid of him. So, you know, Caleb, hello. He maybe when he was a small guy, he got that name dog. He might have scared him when he was a young guy, but I can tell you what. And when he became a man, at this time, at 40 years old, when he's about to cross, let me tell you, he turned his face. He said, we take them giants right now. So when I thought about it, when I read his name, I thought about today, at that table drinking coffee, I thought about that time when that incident, when I did it with that dog. Let me tell you, that dog had some Caleb in him. Oh boy, I remember it like it was yesterday. From the tribe of Issachar, Strong's 3485, there is recompense. Yegal. Yegal. Strong's 3008, he redeems. Son of Joseph. Strong's 3130, he adds, he increased. You remember, y'all remember Rachel said that? When he had Joseph, he increases. That was another statement, another name that was said about his name. So they all have meaning. The tribe of Ephraim, Strong 669, doubtfully fruitful. Hosea, Strong's 1954, salvation. He was the son of Nun. And we know what Nun is, life. Strong's 5126, posterity or fish. I apologize. I didn't have time to go back and look at each one of these names. And I'm sure they all have some meanings. And so we still got a lot more slides to go. From the tribe of Benjamin, Strong 1144, son of the right hand. We've heard this before. Palti, Strong 6406, escape my deliverance. Son of Rafu, Strong 7505, healed. From the tribe of Zebulon, Strong's 2074, exalted as Gadiel. Strong's 1427, El is my attack troop. Son of Sodi, Strong's 5476, acquaintance. The tribe of Joseph, Strong's 3130, he adds or he increases. What a powerful name. From the tribe of Manasseh, Strong's 4519, causing to forget Gadi. Strong's 1426, my attack troop. Son of Susi, Strong's 5485, my horse. The tribe of Dan, 1835, judge. We know Dan means judgment. Emil, Strong's 5988, my kinsman is El. Son of Gamai. Strong's 1582, camel driver. The tribe of Asher. Strong 836, happy one. Shetur is Strong's 5639, means hidden. Son of Michael, Strong's 4317, who is like El. The tribe of Naphtali, Strong's 5321, wrestling. Nabi, Strong's 5147 means hidden. Son of Whoopsie. Strong's 2058 means rich. The tribe of Gad. Strong's 1410 means troop. Gaul. Strong's 1345. Majesty of El. Son of Makor. Strong's 4352 decrease. So you can see these names are special names that have meaning to them. You know, we know that, like I said, when we're going to get to the one of Yeshua, we know what it's going to say. It means salvation. And we're going to get to that. But all these guys, like I said, they were just not regular, just regular, ordinary guys just you found on the street. These were head of their father's house. They were fighting guys in the war, guys that stood up in their father's house. When their dad looked at them, he was probably say, "That's my boy." You know, right, Pop? A little private joke we got at home. But these fathers were proud of their sons. And we know that because when Leah gave birth to six sons, he said, man, surely my husband will love me. God bore him six sons. You can imagine these guys, man, they're walking out with their chest puffed out. These spies were sent to tour the promised land and bring back a good report. As we see from this chapter, only two brought a good report back, Hosea and Caleb. What is very interesting for us to note is that Hosea and Caleb are a clear and powerful prophetic picture of the two houses of Yisrael and Yehuda, who will together stand up and embrace the truth of the Besorah. And what is also a very powerful picture here is that Hosea, being from Ephraim, shows us that it is through the leading of Ephraim, metaphorically used as a collective title for the lost 10 tribes of the house of Israel coming back to the Torah. This will initiate the restoration of the two houses as the spirit of Elohim moves in the heart of his lost sheep, causing them to respond to the need to walk in and follow the Torah. When I thought about that, I thought about the two witnesses. People want to know, who are the two witnesses in Revelation? There you go. The house of Yehuda and the house of Israel. Only thing about the house of Israel, they're so scattered all over. They're all over the world. But Yah, we know that Yah is bringing them back. The Torah is coming back alive in our lives. And we're starting to recognize who we are, where we need to be in Him, where we're coming from. For why? What are we going to do? He said, take the two, and we're going to put them one in our hand, the two sticks, the house of Ephraim and the house of Yehuda. We're going to know our big brother Judah one day. That's what he's talking about here. He's going to reunite them back to the Torah. And we're so thankful that he preserved the Torah. That generation preserved the Torah until we have it today. We owe a lot to our big brother Judah. And this is what he's saying, going to cause them to respond and need to walk and follow the Torah. How you know we have to follow the Torah? Because Yeshua was the living Torah. Then what else are we here for? If we ain't following Him, what else? Why are we here? We might as well turn the lights off and go home. He is that living Torah. He was and is the living Torah. Amen. That who knew no sin became sin for us. Who last week felt the pressure, the squeeze of the oil. It wasn't just the oil that when they first started. You remember that slide a while back when he Gethsemane. Right? It means the place of pressure of the oil, the squeeze. The more you squeeze, the more you pound it, the more you pulverize. That's where you get the good stuff. It's deep inside the olive. It ain't just the first oil that comes out, and there you go, you have it. You want to get to the good stuff. And that's what he was. This is what the price he paid for. He felt the squeeze. And you and I, we're going to feel the squeeze. We're feeling it now in today's time. We keep following the Torah. What do? You keep following no matter what. You hold on. I remember a long time ago, Brother Chad told me, said, brother, don't pull up your anchor. The pastor preached a message. Let me tell you something, I wanted to pull. I was ready to pull when I was getting my squeeze. But he always telling me, brother, don't pull your anchor. And when you pull your anchor, you drift. And I know that's a good example because we was in South Pass a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you, now I bought a little anchor for my boat. My wife said, babe, you get that anchor? I said, yeah, that's all I need. That anchor's good enough. Might be good enough for up the road. It wasn't good enough for South Pass that day. I can tell you what. The anchor and the trolling motor wasn't good enough. I seen Brother Chad's anchor. I said, well, I can know what I'm going to invest in now. I got to get me an anchor because this bad boy ain't working. It is straight after these list of names that we see Moshe called Hosea Yehoshua. This is truly a remarkable moment in time, and one that will forever be a statement of truth. From this unique moment, we are able to see the clear prophetic moments that highlights for us that it is only through Yeshua Messiah that we are able to enter into the promise of Elohim, for in him they are yes and amen. There's no other way. There's no other Savior. I'm convinced that it don't matter what been said years ago, we had to follow him. He is our source of life. Peter even said, there's a statement Peter said. He said, Master, where are we going to go? You hold the words of eternal life. Where are you going to go outside these walls? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to follow? We have to follow him because he's the only way. Matter of fact, he's the only one I read that's next to the Father. I know that's probably not popular to some people, because when people are dying today, he's in a better place. He's here. And he, really? Not what the scripture says. So what are we following? I choose to follow him. Because his promises, Elohim, are yes and amen. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he promises, you're going to have it. He doesn't break his promise. We break promises. He said, my Torah, which y'all broke. I didn't break it. He said, y'all broke it. That's probably, the last slide of some of the teaching a while back. He said, when we come off the mountain, he said, y'all broke it. You broke the covenant. I didn't break my covenant. The name Hosea, Strong 1954, means salvation. Yet the name Yeshua, Strong's 3091, means Yehovah is our Savior. Yehovah is salvation. And we know that's what his name means. He's Yah's salvation. He was Yah's plan since before the foundation of the world. Yah already had this plan. He said, I'm going to send my boy, the head of my house, the head of his father's house. He said, what he said about? And he will not fail. But what he says to us, and every man who does not listen to his word, that he speaks in my name, I'm going to require it of him. When I read that up there, let me tell you something. We got to be careful when we read that. Because it's your duty and responsibility to be here, to keep the Shabbat to the best of our ability. We should be keeping it. We should be obeying his laws and his command and his right rulings. If not, what he said, I'll require it of that man. If he don't listen to the head of my house, if he don't listen to my boy, that he's representing me. This was a very powerful statement in changing the name of the one who simply meant deliverance, salvation, to revealing who the true deliverer, Savior is. And we know who he is. He said, you call me teacher, you call me master, but why you don't obey what I say? I wouldn't be able to answer him if we're not obeying. So we do have a responsibility. When we say we're following him, we need to go back and check and make sure, are we really following him? Are we really obeying what he says? Because not, we're going to do, we're going to give him, because you know what happens when we don't? We give him a bad report. We're not here to speak negative about him. So if we're going to say we're going to do it, you do it. And you live up to it. And when you start feeling the squeeze, he said, when you haven't done all to stand, stand. A clear picture that we can see through these verses show us that Ephraim, lost 10 tribes, begin to return to the truth of the Torah. This is what we're doing. We part of Ephraim. We're returning back to the truth of the Torah. Thank Yehovah for that. Amen. for opening up our eyes. Because we were blinded. You got that right. And look, it was strange at first. Especially when we first started digging into the Word, following what Yeshua was saying, the pastor was teaching, we started in the Revelation. Some of the stuff was strange. But here we are today. And look. And now as we learn, we're telling other people about it, and they look at us strange. That's okay. Let them. The scripture says, we said, let them. When we talk about you, let them. It's okay. Begin to return to the truth of the Torah. They will have their eyes open to the clear truth of what the Torah reveals, in that Yeshua Messiah is the living Torah, the only one who delivers us and leads us into the promise of Elohim, that he is our Savior. Without him, I'm sorry, you just still in the water with no life jacket. When you get into his boat, there are rules. Remember, we went through this a while back. And one of the rules is put the life jacket on. Well, I don't want your life jacket. I don't want your yoke. I go back to that message. When he said, when you yoke to the dominant one, I remember Pastor doing his walking. He said, when you yoke to the dominant, you ain't stopping the dominant. He's still walking. He's going to train you. And you can lollygag, you can jump around, but you know what? The dominant is still walking. I still hear that message today. And you got a choice to either try to get step in step with him, or he'll drag you. Because you're not going to stop the dominant. He's going to keep on going, whether you're on board with him or not. And when he returns, he said the tribe of the earth is going to mourn. There's one mourn for his only son. Because he's going to say, we had all this teaching and all this. And we didn't pay attention. We didn't open our eyes to the clear truth of the Torah. And we know that he is the clear truth of the Torah. And without him, I'm sorry, my friends, you and I don't make it without him. That's just point blank. I can't make it. He said, without me, you can do nothing, naught. That's pretty simple. That's first grade stuff. To think that we can make it some other way, especially with our own rules today. There's no rules in, it's not your rules in his house. He said, when you come in the house, you're under his covering. You cross his threshing floor. The lamb that was slain right here, the blood is on your garments. So that's the covenant. Look, you're in my house now. I got you covered. But we can't tell him what to do in his house. He makes the rules. And you know what? They're good rules. He said, they're not burdensome. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're not to hurt you. Yeshua Messiah, the living Torah, the one who delivers and leads us into the promises of Elohim, that he is our Savior. And I told you, they get better as they go along. These spies were sent to bring back a full report and declare to the entire nation what the land was like and what the people were like, what the cities were like, and whether the land was rich or poor, or rather, whether it was a land of plenty or a lean land, where there was foresters, etc. They had a clear mission and were encouraged to be strong and bring back some of the fruit of the land for the rest to see and taste. Here's the proof. Here's the evidence. Beautiful land. And if you let me just give you a little taste of the land. See if I can find it right quick. In Numbers 14:8, it says, and Yahweh had delighted in us, then he shall bring us into this land to give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. That's good enough for me right there. That's pretty land. Milk and honey? I like milk and honey. He said, but only do not rebel against Jehovah, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their defiance has turned away from them, and Jehovah is with us. Do not fear them. His land. Why you want to give a report something bad on his stuff? Jehovah don't deal with junk. He don't have faulty equipment. He has good stuff. In the garden, I can imagine the garden with Adam and Eve, how beautiful. He said, but look, this is mine. You leave that, but you can eat freely in the garden. But this is mine. So where do you think this land? I know. He said, look, if you obey me, these giants in there, I'm gonna get them away from you. I'm gonna chase them out with bees. I'm gonna get them out from you. You're gonna inherit this land. Why? It was a covenant. And he said, I'm gonna give to y'all. So what are we doing today to the entire nation? He said, we need to give a full report around here to the entire nation that this is good land. If we treat it right, it'll do his job. It'll yield his increase to us. We have to take care. We don't have to not abuse it. It's not junk. In verse 20, the word be strong is huzzah. Strong's 2388, which carries the meaning to be or grow firm or strong, to seize, strengthen, to fasten up, and also carries the understanding, being able to grasp between the ears. Now, maybe Pastor had to get back on that part, right? I could not find what really that meant. So maybe that'd be one of my questions to him tonight that he can let me know later. But huzzah, I mean, we learned this word long, why? It's been a while we learned this word. Because every time we would read a book, what we learned, huzzah, huzzah, vinet, huzzah. And we learned, be strong and be encouraged. Be strengthened. This is what he was saying right here. So, but the grass between the ears part, we got to get some insight on that. I don't know. Therefore, we see here the clear picture of being bold with that which you hear and grasp between your ears, for faith comes by hearing the word of Elohim, and this instructs of being sent. Well, I kind of got that part, but I just didn't know. I couldn't find the grasp between the ears.
The mind,
okay. Elohim, and this instruction of being sent was given through Moshe, which is a wonderful picture for us in teaching us that we are to be bold and of good courage in going forward by the leading and guidance of the Torah as we walk in the living Torah and stay in Him. Now, I remember a couple Wednesdays ago, what do you say? You have to be in the house. And we have to stay in the house. That night in Egypt, that last plague, what he said? Stay in the house. Put the covenant. Put the promise. Put the seal on the doorpost. His blood went on the doorpost. And we just stay in the house. Don't go outside the doors. Look, you're going to hear all kind of noise. I'm sure there was noise. The scripture said there was weeping and crying and people well, you're in the house. You're fine. You're in his hands. And the scripture said, Yeshua said, and no one, he said, first of all, he said, you're in my hands, Yeshua says. And he says, no one is able to pluck you out of my hands if you stay in the house and you obey his rules. And he said, and we're in the Father's hands, and no one is able to pluck you out of his hands. Your life is in your hands. Only you can pluck you out of his hands. If we're not following, if we're not staying in the Torah. He said, if you walk contrary to me, I'm going to walk contrary to you. That's pretty simple. So what do you want? We want to walk contrary to him? No. We want to stay in the house. We want to obey his laws and His right rulings. We want to obey His commands, what He teaches us. That's why we are able to be bold. In these last days, we ought to be bold and have courage. Be of good courage. That was one of the things that Moshe told Joshua. Be strong, Hazak. Be of good courage. He said, I'm not going to be able to cross. I disobeyed. He said, but be strong. Be of good courage. And then Yehovah repeats the same words to him. Be strong. Be of good courage. Maybe we can squeeze in one more, brother. If one is not listening attentively to the Torah and instructions of Yehovah, then one's ability to bring a true report of good news will be severely weakened. So we have to be careful on how we treat His stuff. What we say about His land, about His people, about His children, about one another. We shouldn't bring false reports. We have to be, that's what gossip, does the Torah allow that? No. Torah brings you out of that stuff. It teaches you to be different. He didn't teach you to be popular, but He wants you to be better than what you was and what you come out of. The junk that He brought you from before, where He's bringing you now, because why? He wants to bring you into a good land, flowing with milk and honey. So, well, I think my time is just about up. And it's a privilege and an honor. It was kind of short notice, but I was glad to be able to get these slides and be able to go over them and try to just to keep y'all encouraged. Chazak, be strong. Be encouraged. Any prayer requests?